Joining us right now is Terry Savage. She really needs no introduction, but I will tell you that she has her own website, terrysavage.com, T-E-R-R-Y, savage.com. And Terry, there are so many questions now that were supposed to be answered today, and they actually resulted in more questions, because there have been some questions about, now that with the small business loans, those paycheck protection loans, have run out, $349 billion, that's with a B, $349 billion, that's more than a third of $1 trillion, has gone out the door in 2 weeks. There are a lot of businesses still didn't get them. And then the businesses that got them are going to run lean after about, you know, maybe what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, if that, then what happens? This is the big question that I'm being asked all day today.
Okay,
what happens?
Well, I'm glad to be here. Let's say that there are three major topics, and all of them I would describe as a mess.
Okay.
The first is that, let's come back to it, the fact that A, the program ran out, B, the applications are in, C, the money hasn't really been distributed to most of those small businesses, and D, it might not have been a good idea in the first place. That's one subject. The next subject we can come back to is those stimulus checks. The headline there is that government website, Get My Refund, doesn't work. Don't go there. And then C, the big third topic is unemployment. The state has failed miserably, and I warned them. I tried very hard to get to the governor, who's obviously been doing a great job and very busy with life and death matters, but that website doesn't work. So you tell me which one of eight. I feel like behind door number one is the PPI, door number two is stimulus, and door number three is unemployment. You start, and we'll talk.
Well, let's start with the unemployment then, because I think that affects the most amount of people. So go to get your money right now to try to get into the unemployment rolls. That system, as it is in many states, is just crashing.
Yes. Well, there's two aspects to this, actually three. First of all, there are no offices you can go to. That's everywhere, obviously. Second of all, the existing system for people who lose their jobs was never built for, you know, we've had 16 million and probably now more like 20 million Americans out of work. So it's not built to handle the volume. And third of all, much less the increased account for the increased benefits that people get from the federal program layered on top of the state. And then there's the other aspect of it, which is, they were ready to take your unemployment information from what was your employer and how do we confirm this, and we'll get back to you and let you know. But a lot of people are now being included in applying for unemployment that were self-employed. So the website isn't set up to handle that at all. And I, you know, 2 weeks ago I called someone very close to the governor and said, I'm going to tell you, I know you're busy with this, but this is going to be a huge problem. Get IBM in there. Get somebody in there. Revamp your website. It could have been done. And I have a series of emails I sent to the governor's assistants and so forth.
Is there anything, though? I mean, what could possibly, where's the solution here?
Well, the solution is for the governor to focus on this and to get, I mean, this is America. This is a website. I mean, the guys that build my website, Fortress in Chicago, they could have probably done this over. Whenever I need something changing on my website, I call them up and say, can you do this? Most of the time they can do it now. Sometimes they say we have to reprogram it overnight. Okay. That website could be fixed. Nobody said we're going to do this. That's a real problem for the governor.
All right. I don't even want to think about what the ramifications of that are going to be in terms of missed mortgages. We talked about that last week. We'll talk about that next week or as we move forward here, Terry, because I got a lot of concerns about that with the economy. But there's a lot to get to here. We also have phone calls. So we're going to get to that Paycheck Protection Initiative. And I had a congressman on today talking about this, and I did not get a sufficient answer, and I would like you to comment on it, then we'll take the phone calls. The whole idea here, let me just set it up. The whole idea here is that businesses, small businesses, need these loans so they can keep people employed, so they don't go on the unemployment lines. And they apply for these loans. If they have the same amount of employees after a specified period of time, that loan turns into a grant. But they don't have enough to get through whatever the period of time is going to be. And then if they don't have that number after a date certain afterwards, do they then have to pay for it?
Yes. Listen, there are so many things wrong with it. How can I count the ways? Number one, you're absolutely correct. Part of this deal is to keep people on the payroll. And if at the end of this period they don't have the people on the payroll, then this loan turns grant turns into a loan that they'll have to repay. That's number one. Number two, the banks are very, very careful about approving these loans because they're not sure the government isn't going to stick them with the loans and not just give them the money to give away. Okay? Number three, think about this. Some employees, if you could get on the unemployment rolls, would be better off claiming unemployment plus the $600 a week federal supplement if they could get registered, then still being paid by you, especially because you can only use this PPP grant or program to pay wages, and a little bit can go for rent. Well, most small businesses have already told their landlords, I can't pay you. I literally can't pay you. I can't pay my employees. I can't pay myself. If you use the money for anything else to pay your suppliers so you could sort of stay in business, mm-hmm. that doesn't count. You'd have to, that would be considered misuse of the money. So this was designed poorly, implemented poorly. They say they've run out, but they haven't really pushed the money out the door yet. There's about a million things wrong with this. End of story.
All right, let's take some phone calls. Ronnie, you're on WGN, on with Terry Savage. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Oh, hello. Well, you see, I like the idea of, like, you know, bars and restaurants. But here's my question. I just want the banks, they call you and they say, listen, why don't you get involved with this program? Okay, I want to. Here's my problem. If I have a bartender or a server making, I don't know, you know, whatever they make an hour, like $9, $10 an hour. If they take a sick day, and that day's $13, okay? So when you fill out the loan and the application, they look at it and they go, well, wait a second. Here's their tips, what they made in credit cards. Here's what they made in cash. Here's what they make an hour. If you break that when they divide the hours up, and Prixon doesn't allow me to have more than three or four people in my business, am I going to be paying them $50 an hour?
All right.
What do I do with them? You understand what I mean? How there's the stipulations.
Let Terry answer the question,
not laid out.
Ronnie, hold on one second. I understand your passion.
Guess what? I've talked to a restaurateur who said basically the same thing. The incentives are all wrong here. You can't keep these people on. And on top of which, so you pay them for 8 weeks. What if you can't open up in 9 or 10 or 11 weeks?
Right.
If they're not on your payroll at the end of this, if you can't, I mean, you can't, you can only use that a little bit to pay rent. If your landlord says, I'm shutting you out, and you've taken this down, then you're, and these people are not on your payroll, you're stuck with this as a loan. This is just a bad program, so don't cry that you didn't get the money, because if you did get the money, you might find out that, in hindsight, you didn't want it.
Right, and I want to go back to the bank part, too, because we had Ed Wehmer on yesterday from from Wintrust. And, you know, they are doing everything they can possibly do to try to get the money out. But it's like everything else that's going on here. Listen, they're selling us, as all politicians do, right? Have we seen, of all stripes, we've seen this through our entire lives, Terry, that they're going to tell us one thing, and then when it actually, the rubber hits the road, because they can promise us this great program, but there's paperwork involved. There's actually mechanics involved. It's not a dream state. There's actual, really, you know, you wake up and you got to stand on the ground and do this. And
yeah, it's not floating in the air and landing in your small business account. And both the banks and employers are genuinely worried that the long-term consequence of this could be devastating. Banks could get stuck with bad loans.
Yeah.
So they really, Ed Wehmer, bless him, he's doing the best job of anybody in town from what I hear on getting the money out the door. Because they're really set up for this, but still, they don't want to get stuck with the loans. If the business is going under, they'll have some responsibility too. The government's not going to let them get off. Because the government, by the way, has, can I use the word, screwed the banks many times over. Mm-hmm. In the savings and loan crisis, they had them take on failing savings and loans, and then they charged it against their capital. The government has a track record of asking banks to do stuff. I mean, I'm not an apologist for banks, but the government has a track record of asking banks to assume burdens like J.P. Morgan bought Bear Stearns, and then really sticking it to the banks. So there's not a lot of trust in the banking industry for the government promises either. You know what we haven't talked about? The
what?
Stimulus checks. That's the biggest story of the day in my world.
All right. Talk about it. Speak
up. Look. I'm going to give you three quick bullet points. This is so important because everybody out there thinks they're getting it, and probably they will, but they're anxious. Number one, if you filed a tax return in 2018 or 19 and you put direct deposit on it because you were getting a refund, you might have already, likely did, get your stimulus payment. You know, it's $1,200 an adult for joint returns of under $150,000 income and single returns of $75,000. $500 for children, but not if they're 17 or older. We'll come back to that. If you filed your tax return, the government is looking at it, and if you didn't have direct deposit on it, even if you paid them out of an account, they will send you a paper check to the email, to the mailing address, I should say, on that return. Be patient. If you get Social Security retirement or disability, even if you don't file taxes, or even if you do, you will get your stimulus on your Social Security account direct deposited. It may not come this month when you get your Social Security benefit in the next week or two or three, but it will come separately, and it should come soon. I don't think, from what I've talked to the IRS twice a day, I don't get the sense that they've started pushing those out yet, but they will. And finally, a lot of people in our audience who get something called SSI, they're so poor, they don't file tax returns. They don't get Social Security. They get supplemental security income. And the saddest, most horrible thing of all was for the last 3 weeks, the government had said, we're going to require you people to come to a website and file. Just late yesterday, and believe me, I was on their case, and I'm sure a lot of others were, that was ridiculous. These people don't have a chance to get to a computer. The libraries are closed. So they said anybody with SSI, the supplemental income benefits, will get it on their cards, which they already get their SSI. That will take another 2 or 3 weeks. And that's the message. I have two messages for everyone. If you haven't got it yet and you've heard that someone else got it, please don't get nuts. It will take 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, maybe. Yeah. Second of all, do not go to that government website they set up yesterday with such fanfare. It is a total mess. You're going to get scared. Don't put anything in there. Just sit back and wait.
I think that's really much
truth.
Well, that is the savage truth. I think that that's really the message of this whole thing, is that as much as the government wants to say, hey, stay calm, remain calm, there's nothing to see here, we're going to take care of you, they really can't do it. All right, Tim, I've got about a minute left here, but I wanted to get you in. Go ahead, Tim.
Really quickly, everyone with the SBA is talking about the lack of money for the PPP. What about the disaster assistance program?
You know, I don't know how they're getting organized around that. That's not my area of expertise. All I can tell you is that anybody who thinks, except for the fact that you're going to get the stimulus benefit shortly, that you're going to get a handout from the government as an individual or a small business, is going to be sorely disappointed. Unemployment system isn't working here in Illinois. The PPI plan is not well done, and it might not be your best option, and you're going to have to wait for your stimulus check. The best thing I can say, and the most optimistic, is we are going to get through this. This is not going to last forever.
Yes.
We know a lot of people don't have the resources, but you're not going to be evicted. You're not going to starve. Believe me, we will get through this in about 6 or 8 weeks. And about the time you say, oh, I've got my job back, that's maybe when your stimulus check comes. So
All
just
right.
stay calm.
Terry, thank you very much. TerrySavage.com.